WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live, chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use Creator Code Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Circus hashtag Epic, partnered by Borderlands, Fortnite skins, and Madden, and whatever else you can possibly think of. Epic probably owns it. Anyway, we're here to talk about Wrestlepalooza. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Hello.
You cut out. You want to try that hello again?
What?
You kind of were there. We also have one Keishi Matsunaga.
Mic check.
You're good.
Yay!
How about, does this sound better?
Hey!
I probably peaked.
You did peak. Couple times.
That's fine. This headset mic is loud already, so I get it.
That would be the way it goes. And the voice you heard laughing in the background is the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, I haven't peaked yet. Doesn't matter that my birthday's in 3 weeks. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. We are live on the interwebs, so thanks for tuning in. Yes, as Rock said, we are streaming live on twitch.tv/WTR Live with a live chat room. Hello to Anubis Ash. And, of course, as always, the lovely Lindsay Ward in the chat room. I'm sure... team chat is around someplace, so in that case, I'll just say, hey, Matt, what's up, dude? And happy belated birthday to Anubis Ash, whose birthday was yesterday. But tonight, we're talking about Wrestlepalooza! Where have I heard that name before?
In a land far, far away. It existed Narnia. One time. It existed back in the day. One time. Now we're here. Bringing it back. Almost 30 years since it was last used. Long live ECW.
Behold.
But yeah, Wrestlepalooza, the show they hope will be as big as a WrestleMania or SummerSlam one day.
Sounds like a TNA pay-per-view.
I mean, with the news from the other day, they would damn sure hope it's as big as one of them. So people won't complain about the other show headed somewhere else.
But you don't say his name.
You know, that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes.
Just don't say his name.
So yeah, Wrestlepalooza takes place Saturday, Indianapolis, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN here in the United States, or the ESPN app, which they need to do. Okay, they need to do a better job at telling people how to get their show in the U.S. because they say it's available on ESPN. It's not actually on ESPN linear, ESPN streaming. They need a push to tell people that, because it's going to confuse a lot of people on Saturday. Just putting it out there. And it'll be streaming on Netflix internationally. So you guys are covered. It's easy. One click, it's on Netflix. It's easy. For others, it's on the ESPN app that you have to download and subscribe to and all the things.
Yeah.
But we have 5 matches announced officially for the show. Probably another match or two to be added. One would assume. Don't know why, but probably will be added. But one of the big matches on the show is for the undisputed WWE Championship. It's Cody Rhodes returning from his hiatus in Australia to defend against Drew McIntyre. What are we thinking?
Well, it's not so much I'm thinking, but I'm wondering. Do we see a Cody Rhodes heel turn and Drew McIntyre face turn start?
Why?
Not the way Drew's been acting.
Because it's been rumored that it's going to happen, and it's not going to happen at WrestlePalooza, but just because the rumor's out there, I thought I'd bring it up.
I mean, the rumor has been out there for
a while now.
How many? Cody's addressed the rumor.
Cody's doing the John Cena heel turn without doing the John Cena heel turn, and I'm talking about, you know, shaking his leg at the ankle.
He said it's at least a year and a half to 2 years away at the earliest, because there's still room to grow as a babyface. There's still meat on that bone. Yeah, what do we think about this, Brent?
For me, this one's hard because there's not a lot of build to it. The whole thing was Cody got out, or, you know, he got out of, like, all the feuds that he was engaged in, and we were kind of like, all right, where does he go? He's got the title back. And then, boom, Drew put him through the announce table.
The bottom.
Not the top part.
The bottom.
Yeah, the front of it. and wrote him off to go do the movie. Which is great, because, you know, he has other commitments. That's fine. The problem with it, though, is we have essentially 1 week build now for this. Because Drew was out there fighting, and he was going to take out Sammy. Right? Or no, who was he trying to put through the announce table most recently?
Randy. He was doing it on
Randy. That's right. It was Randy Orton. He was going to take out Randy, and that's when, you know, Cody comes out for the save. But the problem is like, we never really saw Drew do anything in the interim to carry this forward either.
I mean, he did a little trash talk here and there. He's kind of been egging it on, but nothing major.
No, it wasn't enough to, like, really make this feel like, oh boy, howdy, a title match. It's like, okay, Cody wants revenge because he got put through the table. Awesome. And the title's in it because, well, Cody has the title. That's all it feels like.
Do you guys agree?
I mean, I agree that the build has been sort of lackluster, but that's kind of what happens when you almost, you know, are doing back-to-back PLEs. It's hard to build for the next set of stuff when you're dedicating your TV time to building one thing and then flip around and dedicate less TV time to something else, unless it carries over from the last one. So, like, for example, the big mixed tag that's happening, well, that is something that kind of carried over. But anything that's sort of new is really hard to build, which is probably why this has been, like, sort of sprinkled here and there, but there hasn't been a lot of, like, consistent building, which sort of makes it hard.
Yeah, there's been a build, but there hasn't been a build.
Mainly because Cody wasn't there, I think.
Yeah.
Because we've already had a PLE in between the last time we've seen Cody. Cody and Drew weren't on that last event. Is there any chance that Drew shockingly takes home the belt on Saturday?
Well,
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's always a chance, but it ain't going to happen.
That's two no's. Brandon, is that a no for you as well?
Yeah, for me, it's one of those things of you just had the story of, you know, like, Cena had the belt, Cody got it off of him at SummerSlam, and then it's like, trust me, Cody doesn't need to hold it till next WrestleMania or SummerSlam either. Like, if he drops it at some point, cool. I just don't think it's going to really be, like, that first or second title defense off the bat. Because if that was the case, if all it was trying to transition it over to Drew, you could have had Cena lose to Drew and helped elevate Drew that way. So I'm going Cody for this.
So clean sweep for Cody.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Now what about this one? The Usos reunite Raven. for the first time in a couple years to take on Big Bronson Reed, the Tribal Thief, and Bron Breakker. What are we thinking?
They killed their cousin, so it's time for revenge. It's interesting for me with this that we're starting to see this weird shift in Jay, where he seems to be taking Roman's words a little bit to heart, but I don't know if it's necessarily the right words that he needs, you know, the right thing that he needs to be taking to heart. Because we're starting to see that kind of, like, poisoning of Jay, where he was, like, the fan favorite, and, you know, yeah, we're getting the crowd into it, we're doing all this. And now we're seeing him, like, taking the shots on LA Knight because DTA and the belt is the important thing, as Roman was talking about for that four-way. You know, don't be friends with anyone. That's not what this is about.
What do you think, Cash?
Yeah, I mean, I think with kind of the little breadcrumbs that are laying with Jay, I feel like that will be the little distraction that miscommunication that maybe Jimmy and Jay will have that might cost them this match. To, you know, further that transition of Jay from being who he is now to seeing what he does is basically the heel that they seem to be pushing him towards. So, yeah, and the Vision could probably use a little bit of momentum after, you know, losing to Roman and because Braun lost to Roman, Bronson Reed lost to Roman. So, yeah, I think they need that to kind of excel them, and then it also pushes Jay's transition into quote-unquote darkness, so.
Is it too early to position Jay into darkness, Tim?
This would be a great time to start it and draw it out for a few weeks and then jump into the deep end. I'm pretty much on the same page as Casey with this, to tell you the truth.
For me, I wouldn't have him go full. I mean, I'm going to use a Tim movie analogy here. It's a very dangerous road to go. No, I think this is going to be Jay's Luke Skywalker moment, where he's tempted by the dark, or like there's things inside of him that could be dark, but ultimately he turns away because the whole thing about it is like, no, I'm not going to be that. I'm like, I saw what it did to Roman. I'll realize it, and I will not let myself get to that point.
Yeah, you got to ask yourself one thing. Would I have used Star Wars for that analogy?
I mean, you probably would have found a Trek analogy, but
I was actually thinking Lethal Weapon.
Oh, well.
Lethal Weapon.
Well, but ultimately, there's
parts of that movie that where you think Martin Riggs is going to snap. But then he pulls himself back.
Well, and I think this is that kind of thing for Jay, where it's like he's had the belt, he's had it stripped away. He doesn't want to end up in that second tier again, even as a character standpoint. But he also, I think, knows that like he can't go down that road. He, you know, he saw what happened and the damage it all caused. And it's what led him to break away.
Yeah, but I think that like that moment is going to be the distraction that costs him the match in the long run, even if he doesn't, like, I don't think he's going to go full right away, but just that moment of hesitation is what's going to cost him that match.
Yeah. I still think the Vision's going to win. I just don't think it's, I don't ultimately see Jay turning dark for this because I don't know where that would go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that situation, I see a case of, and we've seen it ad infinitum in WWE, but it works. He's walking that line and he's got that opportunity to do something heel, and he thinks about it and he telegraphs to the audience that he's thinking about it, but ultimately doesn't, which is what costs them.
So who's walking out with the win, Tim?
Oh, it's the Vision.
Casey?
Vision.
Brant?
Vision.
Okay. The Women's World Championship has been vacant since Naomi announced that she was pregnant a few weeks ago. We finally get a new Women's World Champion to be crowned when Io Sky battles Stephanie Vaquer. What are we thinking about this one, Keish?
I'm excited to watch this match. Should be fun.
Yay!
I honestly think it could go either way. Personal preference, especially with this being sort of a vacant title sort of thing, I wouldn't mind seeing them put it on Stephanie Vaquer. I think that would be a nice little change. Not taken away from Io Sky, because, you know, she's, like I say, I'm excited to watch this match. If she wins the title again, that's fine too. You know, if they kind of want to reset to how they had things set up before Naomi won the title and kind of go in that direction, not a bad idea either. But I'm going to predict that they put the title on Stephanie just for the fresh direction.
Do you agree, Tim, that putting on Stephanie is a fresh direction?
I'm thinking it would be, and I wouldn't mind seeing it go to Stephanie, but I got a feeling that they've got the, because they weren't done with Io being in around until, you know, Naomi had to vacate. I see them putting it back on Io for the time being.
Now, this begs the question, Brent.
Yes.
Say, you know, Tim says they put it on Io. Keishi says Stephanie.
Congratulations, you're the new women's champion.
Congrats on winning a second championship. You look into you look what's next, Brent. Does that play a decision in who you put the belt on?
What do you mean, what's next?
The next PLE.
That's Crown Jewel?
Crown Jewel in Australia.
I think that may play a role, especially for the fact of who's going to probably be very featured in that.
That's what I was going with, yeah.
If you're being very... don't get me wrong, I think Stephanie versus... Or I think Io versus Rhea, if you do it out there, of course, always going to be a banger. It's they do not know how to have a bad match together, and they'll put something together great. I think for... Perth, though, if I am thinking, okay, Stephanie is the next one, or I'm not Stephanie, if Rhea is the next one, I'm telegraphing my thought here. I think Rhea and Stephanie one-on-one would be a fantastic match to have down there, especially because we're seeing the cracks and we're seeing the fermentation of Io versus the Kabukis. And you have Kairi sitting there kind of on the side playing mediator, or just kind of like, hi, you know, like, let's not totally do this. But you have Asuka basically telling Io, like, we've got your back whether you want it or not. And Io's like, no, I don't want it. And Asuka's going more and more into that kind of Kana role and, like, angry and a little crazy. And I think they may try to help in this match, and it drives the wedge further and sets something up moving forward between Io and Asuka, which, by all means, that's a horrible match that no one wants to see at all. No one wants to watch those two fantastic wrestlers go, you know, one-on-one.
What's that smell? Oh my God, you reached into Gen X and pulled out sarcasm.
But... if you do that, then it's like, okay, what's Stephanie do? Ah, Stephanie can get Rhea. And that way you split Io off from the title because she's had it for a while and because she may need to get cooled off a bit.
Or Brent, how about this one? What if you put the belt on Stephanie and Rhea does not challenge for the title?
Rhea becomes Io's partner?
Yep.
I think could also work.
You do that as a tag match in Australia instead.
I think that works because we've seen that Rhea and Io have each other's back, not in a, like, I'm going to cost you way, but more like, no, I respect you and you shouldn't have to go this alone. So in that respect, I think that could work out well in terms of put the belt on Stephanie, let her go and do whatever, and then you've got other stuff going on.
Yeah. So you're going...
I'm going Vaquer.
I believe we got Tim's as well, right?
Tim went EO.
Went EO. In case you went Stephanie. John Cena, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, we're saving the other one for last. All right, cool, cool.
What are we thinking?
Boy, there's varying stories about Brock.
Is there?
Yeah, he was brought in for John at John's request. Oh, wait. No, he wasn't. Whoops.
Oh?
Oh, shoot. You mean he wasn't supposed to be a handpicked opponent? Ah, damn.
Or was he, and they're just not letting it be known?
That is also a very good possibility.
Keep up John's gimmick where he doesn't pick his opponents, even though he probably picked his opponents. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, honestly, if on your way out you're going to or want to fight Brock Lesnar, I don't think there's qualms about that, considering the history that those guys have had for, what, 5-8 years of their careers?
They've been doing this thing together since 2003.
And even before that.
And even before that. Yeah, they did a whole package on SmackDown about it. Really good.
So, yeah, ultimately, I think, like, these guys do well. I just don't know if necessarily we're getting them. We know, and the thing is, we have to realize this isn't 2013 Brock Lesnar and John Cena. This is 2025 Brock Lesnar and John Cena. They'll still hit the major high notes between them. They're still probably going to be Suplex City. But in the long run, I don't know if, like, we should expect that viciousness of the match that we got at, you know, what was it? What was the pay-per-view right after WrestleMania?
Backlash?
Backlash.
Backlash. We don't know if we're going to get Backlash and, you know, Brock flying over the top rope accidentally. we don't know if we're going to get SummerSlam with the 14 Germans. We're probably not going to, so don't expect it. But you will get some Germans. You will get, I think, a good overall match, but just also kind of temper, I think, a little bit of expectation in what we can expect.
So last week, we discussed a lot about finishers. Cash,
F5s and triple, or
and AAs are going to be thrown. I think this match, Cash, is going to be finisher mania.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton, and possibly another pair of ripped pants.
Hopefully not, because he rips his tights. You'll probably see a lot more.
He ripped his MMA shorts that one time.
Now, the question is, will the gloves come off in this match?
I mean, it could happen. Say? He could get vicious and take the gloves off and start beating up John Cena. I think
That's how you know it gets serious.
I think the biggest question, Tim, in this match, what finishing move from John Cena's opponent's past will be used on Brock Lesnar?
A repeat, but not of the last one that we were watching. Oh, shit. Well, which ones hasn't he done yet? We haven't seen the RKO.
He attempted the RKO.
Okay, yeah, he attempted it.
Do we see John Cena pull out a pedigree on Brock Lesnar?
Or we wouldn't see Lesnar trying the pedigree.
No, we're Cena doing the pedigree. Do we see John Cena pull out some sweet chin music?
I was just about to say that.
His leg up that high.
Yeah, I don't think he gets leg up that high. No, maybe sweet chin.
That would be hilarious, though, if he did it and got it to the stomach.
Mick Foley sweet shin music.
Nice.
There you go. But let's see him slap on the sharpshooter. Or the Scorpion Deathlock. Your choice.
But they're not former John Cena opponents, so it doesn't fit the gimmick.
I know they're not former Cena opponents, but still. Wait.
I've got it. He's going to get Brock into the Batista bomb.
That'd be fun. He could.
Get him into the ankle lock. Or the angle lock.
Well, he already pulled out the angle slam.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who all is still out. Oh, no, wait. I've got another one.
Do it.
Especially for Brock. He's going to pick him up and give him the tombstone.
That's what Lindsay said in chat.
I don't have chat up, but I was like, if it was for anyone, Brock would be great.
Yeah, I don't think Cena's knees are up to that task. Not with Brock.
So the question then remains, John Cena finally conquer the beast?
Shit, when was the last time he beat him legit?
Good question.
I think the last time he beat him, he used that chain that he used to wear around his neck coming out to the ring.
Oh, his chain gang chain?
Yeah, wrapped it around his fist and boom, And I mean, the ring steps were in the ring in that match.
Yep.
And the ref was, I don't know, I remember if he took a bump or something, but John pulled out that chain, bashed him, got rid of the chain, and got the win via pin.
Extreme Rules 2012. I think that was the Backlash match we were thinking of. But Cena beat Brock in 2012 at Extreme Rules.
And Brock has decimated Cena how many times since? Like 5 or 6?
I don't know. Cena won at Night of Champions by DQ, but that's not really a win.
It wasn't a match, but Brock came out at SummerSlam after Cena lost to, I believe, Roman, if I remember correctly.
Did he?
Cena had a SummerSlam match a few years ago. I think it was against Roman, and he lost. And then Lesnar came out and delivered the F5.
I would someone fact check that one? I'm not sure.
Intern, can you fact check that one? I'm sure it was SummerSlam. I'm like 70% positive it was Roman.
So what was that thing again? What were you?
John Cena, Roman Reigns, SummerSlam. Cena loses, then takes an F5 from Brock Lesnar, showing up when nobody expected, and nobody expected Brock.
Okay, so 22 was Reigns and Lesnar. 21 was Reigns and Cena. Let me.
Yeah, it was 2021. Yeah, it was that summer.
2021. Yeah, and I think that was the last time those two had a real interaction, wasn't it?
Before SummerSlam a couple months ago? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So who wins, Tim?
Oh, this is going to be a painful match.
That doesn't answer the question.
Well, yeah, I know. It's going to hurt both of these guys just because they're old now. And John Cena's more broken down than people realize. Are they going to continue the feud or is this going to be a one-off? I mean, that's like the question, John. Is the reason why Brock is back because he wanted at least one last match against Lesnar. Lesnar will do business with you, especially if it makes sense. Does it make sense for John to beat Brock on his way out? I'm having a hard time with this one. I'm going to say Brock wins.
Okay, Kay, she wins.
Yeah, this one's a bit tougher. Like, I mean, it is, you know, John Cena's swan song of matches. Whether, you know, it was his idea to bring Brock in or not may or may not affect the outcome of this. Don't, unless something really egregious happens, like we've been saying, like his track record against Brock Lesnar is not great. And he's fully admitted that he's, you know, not at the caliber that he has been in the past. So like, I wouldn't put it past them if they let Brock win. That is kind of where my brain is going for logic and how it all makes sense. Plus, I mean, you know, it's not going to hurt John if he loses to Brock Lesnar because it's Brock Lesnar. So, yeah, I think Brock's going to win unless something, some sort of crazy schmozzy thing happens. But Brock.
Right.
I think for this, Cena will win. Lesnar doesn't need it unless you have something very much bigger planned. And I know that, you know, he has, in theory, signed a deal, so he will make a few more appearances. But for this, I look at it and I'm like, Cena can get the win here, conquer the beast on his way out, and then you figure like who he may face on the next step.
Okay. And then finally, it's CM Punk and AJ Lee taking on Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Casey.
Yeah, it's the... It's the big storyline build, the big return of AJ Lee, the husband and wife versus husband and wife super match. You've got the voice of the voiceless and your wrestler's favorite wrestler versus the two.
Man and the visionary.
The visionary and the man. Like, you know, I guess you look at it like wrestling's current biggest wrestling power couple versus wrestling's past power couple. A fun mixed tag for the ages. I mean it's hard to say. You go back to the whole contract thing. AJ Lee has signed a contract for long-term stuff, but if we're break, I think the long and short of it, I feel like CM Punk and AJ Lee are gonna win. I think this will be a nice feeling out process for how comfortable AJ is going to be in matches. And that might set something up further down the line between her and Becky. But it will also set up maybe a follow-up title match, like a one-on-one title match with Punk and Seth. So from storyline standpoints and logic standpoints, I feel like Punk and AJ are going to win this match.
Brent, what do you think? What do you think about Brent on this one?
This is something where, like, we've wanted to see some amalgamation of this for a while. We got it with the first Netflix or Raw on Netflix, which was CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Punk picked up the win, but then we've seen Seth, like, doing what he can to kind of screw Punk at every opportunity. And when we had the inclusion of the man in the storyline, we all kind of knew where it was telegraphing to. Because if you bring a female in, we all know who's associated with Punk, and it was like, well, writing's on the wall. And the second they wanted to pull the trigger on Becky being with Seth Rollins, it was like, well, here we go. As I talked about last week, I think this is a good starter match for AJ Lee, where Becky can give her a good opponent that can work with her well, and then it's not all on AJ Lee, but it's that point of when AJ gets that tag, the place is going to erupt at the sight of getting her involved in the match. And they'll tease it. They'll tease the shit out of it of, like, she's going to get tagged in and Becky will pull her off the apron. Or there's the tag, but the referee doesn't see it. So Punk has to, you know, still get beat up and Becky will get her shots in. But yet, it'll be something where, like, it's so close and then we get that moment, it'll erupt. And honestly, I think in this moment you can get a Punk and AJ win to get everyone to feel good, because also the title's not on the line for either of them. There's no real stakes in it. It's just, you know, hey, it's, you know, it's setting up for stuff in the future.
Are you in agreement, Tim, with them? Are you do you agree what they've said? It's an easy win for Punk and AJ.
That just seems to me that might be just a little bit too easy to call, or to be the call. It just feels to me, if Punk and AJ go over, then where do they go from there? But AJ's return, her first big stage moment after her return, getting the win is an issue if Becky and Seth wind up being the victors. I see this one not having a winner. I see something happening. What were you about to say, Rock?
I said, how do you get to that point? How do you get to no winner?
That's a good question. It can't be like you could make it a DQ, but do you go winner via DQ or do you throw it out as a double DQ? I mean, your mixed tag matches, you can't have the guys wrestle the girls anymore. Not in 2025. I mean, this isn't 1999 anymore. Could each woman attack the guys and have that wind up being a double DQ? That's always a potential possibility. How do you get there? Shit happens, and they're each given several warnings, and the ref says, no, that's it. And it breaks down into a real schmoz.
So, on your first big show on the ESPN platform, because that's what they're building this as, the first big show, want to do it, you're going to have a no finish? You're really going to... That's your staple. This is how you're gonna.
I know
you're gonna go, like, it's going. The highlight's going to be on SportsCenter because they've been showing WWE highlights. So you're the SportsCenter that night.
DQ. They've done it. Hey, they've done it before. Granted, this is their first time on something as mainstream as ESPN. If I had to pick a winner. A single winner, I would begrudgingly give it to Punk and AJ. Now, if that's the case, then something nefarious has to happen after the three count, after the win, to perpetuate two singles matches out of this. Because that's what they're eventually aiming towards. Punk taking on Seth and AJ taking on Becky. That's essentially the, not the end game for this match, but that that's essentially the end game for this double feud. Because the problem that I have, if one team or the other wins, it feels like it's a one and done.
I mean,
and you can have Seth and Becky win, not cleanly.
But for a lot, from a logical standpoint, if the babyface pins the heel champion, that would give them the, you know, hey, gives them all rights to earning a shot at said championship. So if
there is also that, but if it's an underhanded victory, you still get there that way too. What's the next big PLE after WrestlePalooza?
Crown Jewel in Australia.
Exactly. They're going to want to really, because this is the first time they've done something like this in Australia, they're going to want to really make that one even bigger than WrestlePalooza.
I mean,
well,
they were just also in Australia about a year ago, so it's not the first.
We also don't know if the stipulation is in effect for Crown Jewel. That's one thing that could play a role as well, is the fact of if Crown Jewel goes, hey, Seth is busy, which now, if that's the case, you could further the feud, because if Seth is facing Cody as the champions, based on what we've predicted so far of all this, then you have Punk cost Seth, and Seth wants to get his hands on CM Punk.
See, that would work fine. Now, I posited if you had Becky and Seth win at Palooza next week, it has to be a dirty victory. But this goes back to what I said. It's AJ's first big stage appearance since her return. After 10 years, do you really want her to lose? They did this build-up, this hype. We knew it was coming when we finally knew it was coming, and everybody still popped like they didn't know it was coming, her return. You can't bring her back with that kind of reaction just to have her do the job. That is why I said I'd be leaning to a double DQ. However, that doesn't work. So ultimately, I am picking Punk and AJ, and I have to admit, having booked shows, in case she knows that I booked shows, because I booked shows that he was in, this one would really be a head scratcher for me, Cash.
Yeah.
Look at, just look at it from my point of view back when we were doing the shows.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but
some of the stuff we did was like, it wrote itself.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff was, oh Jesus, what are we going to do? And, you know, we suspend Kamikaze for the next show. Kayfabe, he actually had a booking in Saskatchewan, I think it was, for the next one. So, but we put the title on him right after that.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't know. Like you say, I think, well, you could have a DQ. I don't think, like, you're already going to be pushing the limits of quote unquote referee's discretion, as it is being a mixed tag. So I don't think there's going to be, I don't think there's going to be a way where they do a DQ. I think that they're going to have a winner, and you can have Punk or AJ pin Seth or Becky. It, because it's a tag match and a mixed tag match, there's a lot more shenanigans that can ensue to have our baby faces win, which could lead to title matches or whatever further down the line, furthering storylines between the two. Whereas if you have Seth and Becky win, that can almost basically squash this thing before it gets a lot of traction under it. So like, while a DQ can keep it going because you've got that whole, well, this is what you did to win the match, or we didn't finish, so now this, that, and the other thing, I think the victory for the faces can push this towards singles matches of sorts for both Punk and Seth and AJ and Becky. And I think that is the route that they probably want to go, because that is probably where they are going to get the most dividends from a business standpoint.
Yeah. You know, the only way that, the way I'm looking at it, the only way it works for Seth and Becky to win, number one, it has to be dirty. And number two, Pierce has to come out on the next Raw and say, hey, you know what? We can't change the referee's decision, but I saw what you did.
Yeah. I mean, that is
my own two eyes. You can wipe off that grin. I know where you've been. It's all been a pack of lies. And
it is entirely possible to do that.
That's very workable that way. But at the same time, that feels a little cheap.
Yeah.
So as much as I could see different ways of booking it, where you can still keep them in the title hunt, but have them lose at WrestlePalooza, I am going to say that Punk and AJ get the victory.
Well, there you go. That was a long way to get there, but we got there.
Well, that was something that really had to be broke down. And in this situation, it's a big deal, right? So you got to look at all the ins and outs. And I'm not hedging bets or any of that stuff. I almost said shit. Don't swear on the air.
You still didn't logically make sense for a DQ. None of that made sense for a DQ.
Right? There it is. Here's all the potential things that might possibly occur. But what makes the most sense? If you do it the wrong way, the only way for it to make sense is to have Pierce come out and say, ah, 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 ah. And it's like I said, Casey agreed. That just seems a little cheap. So you look at all the scenarios. I threw them all out there. And yeah, Punk and AJ. And don't be a smartass, Matt.
I mean, that's what their network's built on, people being smartasses, Tim.
Yeah, well, you know.
just point that one out. We're a bunch of smartasses. And that, there we go. But WrestlePalooza is this Saturday, which means next Sunday we'll talk about it on Russell Talk Radio. But we're done.
Well, that's it. We hope that you enjoyed our preview and our guesses, because let's face it, that's what they are. It's Pick'em, guys. You got up until like Friday night to get your Pick'em picks.
Saturday morning.
Okay, Saturday morning, like really early in my time zone. But I'm in the mountain. Listen, on a Saturday when I don't have to work, any time before 9 a.m. is early. That's 11 o'clock for you, Rock, so we're good. Play pick 'em. Post them on social media. Rock will drop that in just a second. But, it's the Raw Go Home show tomorrow night, and right afterwards, he's going to talk about it, probably with Lindsay, maybe with Brent, with the Raw Post show. Oh! Special earlier time.
When is Brent ever there? Anyway, it's Raw Post Show.
I don't know. I've never heard him. Leaving it open just in case.
You know, it's Raw Post Show. Whenever Raw ends, we'll be live most likely like 9:30 p.m. Eastern for the Raw Post Show, which just seems way too early to do a show. But here we are.
It's weird. It's just weird. You know what? I can't wait to hear what Lindsay has to say about her thoughts on WrestlePalooza. But, like you, I'm going to have to wait until Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, for another edition of the award-winning webcast, The Rack.
And The Rack is live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, CB Radio. And we'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio to talk WrestlePalooza. And all the breakdown from that and who shows up and what kind of big surprise will happen because they want to make a big splash and get an ESPN headline so ESPN can promote their app. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim has social media.
I do. Follow me at Flames Forums. Hey, hockey fans. For me, hockey has unofficially started. Yesterday and today, it was the annual prospects game. The Calgary Flames prospects taking on the Edmonton Oilers prospects, and the Calgary Flames prospects won both games, so I'm happy about that. But yeah, it means I'm going to start posting hockey again, but I'm posting a lot of shit. And I'm expanding it. I'm still trying to become the meme king for Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. So, follow me at Flames Forums. What the hell?
The anti-meme king is one Keishi Matsunaga.
That's right. You will find me posting nothing about preseason hockey. You'll find me posting nothing about prospects. You'll find me posting nothing about most things in general. But every once in a while, just for fun, I might tuck something in there just to see if anybody's checking in on me. And you can see all that at Piledriver on whatever social medias you look for that I may be on.
Brent may be on social medias too. Maybe.
Yep, you can find me on a variety of social medias, X, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens.
Yeah, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple button below the screen, you could use career code ROCKETSLOCK in the Fortnite app shop or Epic Game Store, because hashtag Epic Partner. We'll see you next Sunday, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be here, and we'll be talking what happened to Wrestlepalooza. So, everybody, we'll see you then.
WildTalkRadio.com.